in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went with them and to stay with them. Now it came to pass that he sat at the table with them, and that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. He vanished from their sight. And then he said to one another, then they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?"
Good morning. Good to see you out. It's good for us to be here with you. We want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers on our behalf and on everybody's behalf, for we all need them. I failed to mention this in the announcements, partly because it wasn't on there. But Pana looked on her portal online this morning, and they have posted a number. Lots of numbers, but one particular that we've been waiting to see, and a number that was way, way out of whack in regards to her condition, is close to normal. It's not there yet, but it's just like the upper end of normal is 400 for this number, and hers was 400 something, and it was like thousands when she got started. So we're thankful to God. But we're thankful for your prayers also. And we appreciate and love you. We've been... Is this microphone working now? Yep, I guess it is. All right. We've been for the last several weeks now on a series of lessons that will culminate with today's lesson. That was designed helpfully to prepare us for our Wednesday night class, in which we've started a new topic. And we're thankful for the opportunity to do that. But in these previous lessons, the first one was from Isaiah 55. It's about that text, that short text, about five or six verses. It's talking about God's desire that men would seek Him, that they would turn away from the world and turn to Him. And He ends that section of that text with this: "So shall my word be, which goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And as we discussed that particular idea, we came to these conclusions. God's word accomplishes His purpose because it saves those who are interested, but it condemns those who are not. And then we follow that with Jesus encountering some men who would become His closest disciples. They were fishermen, and they were at their boats, working on their nets. And Jesus came and said unto them, the first two in particular were Peter and his brother Andrew, "Come and follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And we talked about what that meant, that Jesus was going to teach them how important it was to seek and to save the lost, how important it was to preach the word everywhere throughout the world. And so we discussed those things in that manner. Then we followed that last week with this one, with a challenge really, because now we're focused on ourselves more than on those texts. Where in Matthew 28, which is what we call the Great Commission, and in that Jesus said He has the authority, and He commanded them to go everywhere and to preach and to make disciples. But then at the bottom of that was teaching them, those new disciples, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so we know then that that comes to us because we are disciples of Jesus through the teachings of those men. The things that the Holy Spirit guided them to write down for us, that we would have that instruction. And so it's important for us to be participating in the Great Commission, because otherwise we're participating in what I call the great omission, where we're not doing that which God commands all of us to be a part of. And so today we're going to culminate with this thought, are our hearts on fire? For they need to be in order for us to be interested in taking God's word everywhere and being fishers of men and participating in the Great Commission. Our hearts need to be on fire. And so I want us to look at some scriptures that I thought closely fit this idea in one form or another. And we're beginning with the one that was read this morning, but farther than that. I just had Jacob to read just a short section of these verses, but in Luke 24, beginning really at the first, which is when they went to the tomb on Sunday morning and it was empty, and that they were told, the women were told to go back and tell everybody that Jesus is alive, and they did that. But then beginning in verse 13, it talks just about two men. Only one of them is named ever in this text, but two men who were counted among the many that had heard and what had gone on. And these two men were walking on a road between Jerusalem and a little village, Emmaus. It was that very day that the tomb was found empty, Sunday morning, that this trick began, and that the two of them were discussing en route the events of the last several days, not just the tomb being empty, but all that had come upon that. And Jesus then, He made Himself known to them. He hid His identity, but He joined Himself to them, but He didn't allow them to recognize Him at first. And He enters into their discussion with questions such as, what are you talking about? And they were incredulous that a man that could be where they were right then and did not know about the events that had just taken place in Jerusalem, about how that the one that they expected to be the Christ, the Messiah, that would return the kingdom to Israel, that man had been taken by their rulers, the Jewish rulers, and ended up in a process where he was condemned to death. But then, on the third day, which by the way, for them was that day, that they went to the tomb and it was empty. And so they didn't know what to think about all of that. And so Jesus then discussed with them about this, and He said to them, you ought to know that all the things that were mentioned of Him in the Scriptures had to be fulfilled. And so then as our text was read for us a while ago, it says He began at Moses and the prophets and expounded unto them everything in the Scriptures pertaining to Him. They went a little farther and then they decided that they were going to stop because it was getting close to evening. And Jesus sat down with them to eat. They talked some more. And then He allowed them to know who He was. And they disappeared. And then what they said did not our heart burn within us as He opened unto us the Scriptures? You know, when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, that word of God about Jesus, that was later. When he preached that inspired word about Jesus being crucified and God making Him Lord in Christ, he said those people were pricked in their hearts. But these two believers says that word that Jesus opened unto them burned in their hearts. Don't you know that that's the way we need to feel about the Scriptures? That it burns within us in our hearts. The second one comes from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a lengthy book, 50-something chapters. At the beginning of the book, God is calling him out. Jeremiah didn't know if he wanted to participate. And God says, my word will be in your mouth. I'm going to put my word in your mouth. And I want you to say to these people the things that I give you. And Jeremiah did that. But as early as chapter 6, he already knew that they weren't going to pay attention. Jeremiah 6:16 stand ye in, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and look for the good path. Look for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein. That's the basis of God's message to them. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But then it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. So beginning early in Jeremiah's ministry, they were not receptive to the word, but God wanted him to speak that word. So when we get to chapter 20, he's already suffered a lot of things. In fact, early in chapter 20, it mentions that he had been put in the stocks. Later, he would be put into prison one or two times, cast into a miry pit, and all kinds of things they did to him, only because he was preaching God's word. And so in this text, Jeremiah had spoken God's word, but, this is the way he feels, but I was mocked by all. In fact, he even accuses God of deceiving him a little bit when all this began. But he says, I've been mocked by all, and therefore I've made this determination. I'm not going to mention him again to them. That's the man we call the weeping prophet. But then he says this, but God's word was like fire in my bones, and I couldn't keep it in. That's the way it ought to be with us. It ought to be like fire in our bones that we can't keep it in. It ought to burn within us like it did for those other two men. Then I want us to look at two particular congregations that John, while on the island of Patmos, Jesus appeared to him in a vision. He said, John, what you see, write in the book. John did. And he said specifically, I want you to write letters to seven churches in Asia. We're going to look at two of them. The first one is the church at Ephesus. No, you think about Ephesus, that's the church to whom the book of Ephesians was written to. Paul had a special relationship with them because when he finally got the opportunity to go there the first time and then to preach the gospel there and the way they received it, we can read about that a little bit in Acts chapter 20 when he was on his way home from his third missionary journey back to Jerusalem and he stopped and he sent for the elders from Ephesus. And he began to remind them about how the times that they had spent together had gone. How that he had not withheld anything from them that was profitable. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. But then at the end of that, he begins to exhort them that they should feed the church of God, which was purchased with his son's blood. And then he said that I'm afraid that after my departing that things are going to happen, that grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock, and speak from among your own selves shall some arise that speak perverse things, leading disciples away from them. This is that church that now John is writing to years later, towards the end of the first century, that church that Paul loved so much. And in this, at the beginning, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, told John to tell this church, I know your works. And several things that it's mentioned are common, they're being commended for the things that they did. But then there was a but. But you left your first love. And that doesn't go into detail to let us know what that is, but it seems to me that that first love was that which they received when they heard the Scriptures the first time and they believed on Jesus Christ and they submitted to what Paul told them to do and they were baptized into Christ and they loved Paul and they loved the Word and they loved God. And perhaps, like many others would, they shared that wherever they went. Maybe they were on fire for God, but their first love now is gone and they're not on fire for God anymore. Even though they're doing good things, their hearts are no longer on fire. And then there's Revelation 3 at the end of the list of those seven churches. You know, there were seven. Ephesus was the first. It got some commendation but a rebuke. and a charge to repent or lose your candlestick. And then there were five more that received similar things. One didn't receive any rebuke. But then there's this church. The church at Laodicea. There's not one good thing mentioned about them. Oh, I guess in the beginning they obeyed the gospel and they became a part of the Lord's church. But at this point in time, not one good thing mentioned about them, only rebuke. And it's mentioned this way. I know thy works, how thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They were definitely not on fire. Their hearts were not burning within them. It wasn't like fire in their bones, and they were keeping and couldn't keep it suppressed. They were not doing anything good for God. And Jesus threatened to spew them out of their mouth if they didn't repent. I want you to consider about these four passages. How God's word from Jesus' teaching burned within those two men. How in Jeremiah, even though he was determined not to speak the word of God because of the way he was being treated by those that he offered it to, he said it was like fire in his bones and he couldn't keep it in no matter how hard he wanted to. And then these two churches who were not on fire for God anymore. But we need to be a part of this. Take the gospel everywhere. We're disciples of Christ. We are Christians. We wear His name. We should not be ashamed of that message about Him to take it everywhere. So Jesus, in instructing His disciples on how to be fishers of men, one of the things He did, Matthew 13, about half of it is devoted to this one parable, the parable of the sower. I want to focus on just one thought about that. What did that sower do? He sowed the seed everywhere he went. He didn't try to discern whether if I sow the seed on this wood floor right here, it's not going to take root. What would be the purpose in doing it here? Or here's some shallow soil, and I know how seeds do in the shallow soil. They grow up, but they can't stand it when it gets hot because they have no root system. Or in a thorny soil where they're going to get choked out by stronger plants. But then there's the good soil, which was fruitful. It wasn't his job to discern the soil. It was his job to do one thing. That was to sow the seed. That's what we need to be doing. Jesus told the disciples, the apostles, in Mark 16, verse 15 to 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to everybody. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There's Acts 8, verse 4. That's where the church was being persecuted in Jerusalem. That's where they were all connected at first. But they were being persecuted, and so most of them left. You know what they did as they left? They went everywhere preaching the word. It doesn't say they went everywhere afraid for their lives and that they were not going to speak it because they were afraid for being killed for being that. But it says they went everywhere preaching the word. Are our hearts on fire? I think that's an appropriate question for each of us to ask ourselves. Are we willing to get out and seek and save that which is lost? I want us to think for a moment about the mission of the church. Luke 19:1 is about Jesus and Zacchaeus, where Jesus said, "Today salvation has come into this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." We covered that in a different lesson. Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. Jesus, with all authority, sent them to throughout the world to teach to baptize and to teach, to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he commanded them. And we have priorities that we should think about as Christians. You know, number one, we have to make sure we're right. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5, giving all, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's making sure our relationship to God is right. That's number one. But there's more. Jesus has redeemed unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's the way we treat others. 1 Peter 3:1, we need to be focused on helping our spouses get to heaven. Upon used to be the secretary at the Dexter Church of Christ, and I was preaching in a different congregation. And her cousin would come in to visit her sometimes. He'd had some troubles in his life. And he met a woman. She came, stopped by for a visit yesterday, as a matter of fact. He told Pawnee, he was so excited, he says, I think I found a woman that's going to help me get to heaven. Because that's what we need to do as husbands and wives. We're to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When we're doing that, we have our priorities pretty much right because we're focused on others and not just ourselves. So I want us to end with these thoughts. How would I feel if somebody compared me to an unattended fireplace? You know what that means. You know, most people's fireplaces today have gas logs in them. They don't require attention. But most of us remember, maybe even still do, have wood fireplaces. And you go through the effort and you start a fire in that fireplace for whatever purpose that you need it for. But it can't just go unattended. You have to pay attention to it. Because if you don't, then it's going to go out. We don't need to be compared to that. How would we feel if we knew that the average church member had heard 4,000 sermons? Some of you may think, I've heard that many this year. Just because of how long they've been, right? Sung 20,000 hymns. Participated in, and that means we've sat in our pews while somebody led in a public prayer, 8,000 prayers. Okay, now think about all of that. We've heard all these messages, sung all these songs, and listened to all these prayers. Perhaps we've even been involved in them, but maybe had not assisted in even one conversion. These lessons have been challenging, not just to you. It's not like I'm up here pointing my finger at you, because if I did, I'd have to notice that there's three of mine pointing back at me. This is a challenge for all of us to participate in being fishers of men. But we have to make sure that we're right with God. We can't be an effective fisherman if we're not right with God. And He gives us an opportunity every time we assemble to get right with Him. To obey the gospel. Most of us are assembled here today because we believe in God. We're supposed to, Hebrews 11:6. That we believe that Jesus is His Son whom He sent to die on the cross for our sins. John 8:24, we don't have problems with that, most of us. That we have a need to repent, Luke 13:3, or else we'll perish. That we need to not be ashamed of Jesus, or he'll be ashamed of us before God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. To be willing to be submitted to baptism in order to have our sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, 16. But then we're on a new life, and we need to be faithful. And part of that faithfulness is growing, adding to our faith, as we mentioned a while ago. But it's also a part of that faithfulness is being willing to share with others that which we have received. We don't need to keep it a secret, but we need to share it. If you're here this morning and your heart's not right with God, we want to offer you that opportunity to get right this morning. All you have to do is come down the aisle and let us know, or we can talk with you and pray with you, where you can receive that great gift that God is offering, salvation and forgiveness. If we can assist you this morning, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.